You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Wednesday, March, May 17th. Let's not go backwards. May 17th, 2017. 17. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the King, Scott Engel, CCN Baseball's Matt Mozeika, and the fantasy executive, Corey Parson. My name is Greg Sussman. How are we doing, Matty Mo?
I am doing very well. The Brooklyn Nets are not. They should probably be banished back to Jersey.
Oh, that's not nice. I'm from Jersey. Scotty, what's going on?
Banish them maybe to Long Island. Good morning. I'm not doing too good. It's like, Matt Boyd like really ruined my night.
Jeez, yeah, you're that upset.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day outside.
That's true. You know, like Greg, you always know how to cheer a guy up.
Absolutely. So, I'm actually wearing black in mourning of the Knicks score today, dropping from 7-8 because, like, why not, right?
Yeah.
New York Knicks,
Corey. Good morning.
Yeah, that is the way the New York Knicks operate, so that's kind of their luck.
Yeah,
so.
But Phil Jackson did say, you know, we're good at what we do.
Losing basketball games.
Well, Corey, I got a question.
Yo.
Do you blame it on the suit that Clyde Frazier wore last night?
No. Clyde is good with me. Clyde is always all right. But that's, you know, whatever. I got to watch my Dubs last night.
After you saw your Knicks at the lottery.
Got to watch my Dubs last night, and I got to watch LaMarcus Aldridge make an attempt to take Kevin Durant out.
He tried.
He certainly did try. And he missed.
He didn't have it, but he tried.
He slid up under Kevin Durant last night. How about that?
Didn't work. Ultimately.
They will try again.
They certainly will.
Did we
see Kawhi Leonard again this series?
Huh?
Do you think we see Kawhi Leonard again this series?
Well, Kawhi, like I said, probably has a broken ankle or probably a high ankle sprain more than likely. But like I was telling my homeboy last night, they got stuff for that. Because Terrell Owens played in the Super Bowl with one. So they have stuff for that. So we'll see if he can get out there on Saturday.
Yeah. We'll see. We know the heat will be on inside the Alamo Dome. That's for sure.
Oh, yes. The Alamo Dome. It will be 89 degrees on the court because they are going to make sure that they figure out a way to get this thing evened up.
They've been outscored by over 60 points since Leonard went down in game one there. So and they missed 20 of their first 26 shots last night. Meanwhile, Curry was scoring 15 of his 29 in the first quarter.
You know what bothers me? It bothered me. I got a text message last night saying, oh, basketball's so cool. Look at the score. I'm like, number one, the Spurs are out without their best player. Like, whatever. Yeah. From a hockey fan. That's what I'm looking at you, Mojica. Like,
It was a sarcastic tweet. Right?
No, it was a text message. But like, basketball is so much fun. Look, the Western Conference Finals and teams up by 20. I'm like, they lost their best player. Like, what do you want them to do? He's like, great, a lot of parity in this sport. We'll see the same final 3 years in a row. I'm like, good. I want to see the same final 3 years in a row. I'm pumped for it. Anything?
No, I mean, it's just like you said. It's like the 80s with the Celtics and the
Lakers.
So, I mean, look, you want to see the best play, right?
100%. I'm excited for it. More talk when we return. We're just getting started. It is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Greg Sussman, Matt Mojica, Scotty King, Fantasy Executive, Matty, and we're up against the commercial there. So I do want to go back to you. Now, what do you say to those hockey fans or those non-NBA fans that are like, listen, how is this fun for me? Because blow it, this entire playoffs outside seemingly of, you know, two series in the last round, right? The Spurs and the Rockets, of course, and Boston and Washington. Blow out. And even, I mean, Game 7 without Kawhi, blowout in Houston. Even Game 7 between Washington and Boston, Boston won by 10 when it was all said and done. What do you say to those that are just like, feel that Golden State versus Cleveland is inevitable, and it's just like, what was the point of the season even?
It kind of is inevitable, and I do get the I do get that. What was the point of the season? But with basketball, it's more about like having the best players than any other sport. I mean, if you have like two or three guys, like we've seen the big threes and stuff like that, I do want to see the best meet up. I do want to see LeBron and his group versus Corey's Dubs. I mean,
thank you.
I mean, look, that team is...
He's usually accurate.
That team is pretty fantastic. Yeah. You know, they what they've been able to accumulate as talent-wise, as a non-basketball fan right now, I'd probably call myself, I will watch the finals just to see that.
Just to see.
This is all sour grapes, okay? First off, you know, if you really want to be snarky, say, you watch hockey... You know, a lot of people watch basketball more than hockey. But that's not even that. You could say that in any sport. We've seen periods, okay, where in baseball, the Yankees were dominating and people got tired of it if they weren't a Yankee fan. In football, people are sick of seeing the Patriots, you know, win all the time. You know, it just happens, you know, in certain sports. And, like, to your point in the 80s, it was always the Celtics, the Lakers, and the Sixers. And then the Bulls were dominating, et cetera. But you know what? It's like hockey, you could reverse it and say nobody cares until the playoffs.
Well, the one thing I'll say about with basketball, and to me, as a guy that was very into the NBA, like in the, you know, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, the thing that does make LeBron, to me, extra special is when he was first with Cleveland and he got them to the finals. I mean, it was just him.
Like 12 years old.
Yeah, exactly. But like, even with Jordan, as great as Jordan was, he until he got Pippen and, you know, other guys around him, he wasn't winning championships. He wasn't even getting to the finals. So, I mean, I am like the biggest Jordan guy, biggest Jordan supporter. I turned on LeBron when he did that stupid thing. I'm taking my talents to South Beach. Okay, he was young. He made a mistake. But I think LeBron has recaptured everybody, and he is the biggest thing. I probably would say he is bigger than Tom Brady.
Yeah, he's the biggest athlete.
I'm glad you come around to that.
In professional
sports. I didn't argue that yesterday. What do you mean?
I
don't know if I'd agree, but that's another conversation.
The finals are... seemingly inevitable, Corey.
Yeah,
Golden State
like
up 2-0. No Kawhi, or at least Kawhi not at full strength. Fourth San Antonio. The other big development, of course, last night was the NBA lottery, with Boston winning the lottery. Nothing really crazy happening in the lottery, other than the Knicks dropping.
Yeah, well, that happens every year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Boston number one, LA number two, Philly number three.
The big three.
The big three, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems inevitable, and we talked about it a little bit earlier at the end of the Cicada and Angle there. Boston, in the Eastern Conference Finals, number one seed overall in the East, and now have the number one overall pick. And a lot of people are relating it to Detroit in the Darko Milicic draft, where they're the number two overall pick, and then the NBA champions. Mm-hmm. So, what say you, Corey Parson, with Boston having the number one overall pick? Is this something where you draft Markelle Fultz and you continue to add on to this team that has been cost-effective, that has been young, that has been athletic? Or do you take this number one pick, you sign a Gordon Hayward, you trade for a Jimmy Butler, and you just fill it with veterans?
Veterans to make a push, because LeBron James, you know, and listen, I don't want to say he's starting to get older, but LeBron James, I mean, I'm about to say he can be beat. But you know what I'm saying. You want to put the best team out right now to take on the Cleveland Cavaliers while you have this opportunity. That's how I would look at it. That's how I would go about it. Not continuing to add young talent. Let the Lakers, let the Sixers do stuff like that. Boston needs to, and I think they will, get some talented veteran players around the current team they have, and try to take on LeBron again next year.
You read some NBA writers, Greg, and they talk about, you know, how maybe the one thing to combat this whole Cleveland Golden State, you know, inevitability is for another team to, like, put together some sort of, you know, triumvirate, if you will, or some other sort of superstar group that can challenge it. Because you got to think not only about, you know, now challenging Cleveland, but can you challenge Golden State? Like, if you know, you put Jimmy Butler with Isaiah Thomas, etc., you know, the number one pick here is a window to maybe make a move and get better. And this is the first time that the best team, you know, record wise has had the first pick overall since 1982, when the Lakers took James Worthy.
What do you think if Chris Paul was a member of the San Antonio Spurs?
So Mike Florio has been pushing that a lot. That, mm-hmm. that Chris Paul to the Spurs is another one of these signs that just make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, until Florio told me that, I hadn't even heard of it. Mm-hmm. Right, that wasn't even a thing that crossed my mind. It certainly makes sense, right? But him, Kawhi, and Aldridge, like, I mean, Aldridge kind of stinks, but it seems like it makes a lot of sense, though. Tony Parker, pretty old, coming back from now a bad injury. Yeah, it makes sense.
Well, I think, like Corey said, the Celtics have the opportunity now to trade that pick, add a proven NBA star onto their roster, sign somebody in free agency, and they need to do that to, I don't think they're winning the series. I don't think anybody really thinks they're winning the series, except for maybe like the diehard Boston fans. And they'll be able to really compete with LeBron, maybe overtake him next season just on the quantity of talent. But just what was this trade that the Nets made with the Celtics that they even give it up next season's first round?
Yeah, Pierce tweeted like, you know, I'm leaving the NBA with like a, you know, another gift for the Celtics.
It's absolutely incredible that the Nets, you know what, it's not even that the Nets gave up picks. There was nothing was protected.
Yeah,
there's no protections. It was like, Billy King totally forgot to protect anything when acquiring veteran after veteran after veteran after veteran. It was crazy.
Another interesting storyline here is, you know, the Sixers, you know, them getting like the third pick again. I think it's like the fourth straight time. And what Philadelphia can start to build with this, you know, as you look down the line with like, are the Sixers building something special?
It's going to take a while, but I think they are trying to at least, you know what I'm saying? I almost didn't make it today, fellas. I had an issue.
You had an issue? What's going on?
So yesterday, right? When I get home, I'm heading up to my residence, whatever.
Yes.
And telephone rings, and it's Kennedy's mom. You know what I'm saying? She's like, I had to go. She was like, you wouldn't believe what happened today. I'm like, what happened? She was like, well, this morning Kennedy forgot her lunch money. You know what I'm saying? $2.75. You feel what I mean? So she goes, you know what I mean, to the cafeteria, whatever, like the rest of the kids on the recess, whatever. And she gets her lunch. And the lunch officer, you know, a male, you know what I mean? A grown man is like, you know, you don't have, you know, your lunch money. She was like, oh, well, you know, I forgot, whatever the case may be.
Right.
So he snatches her lunch away from her, gives her a cheese sandwich. And she's like, well, I don't eat cheese. And he was like, well, you need to bring me
$20. $20?
He's so strong on her, huh?
Had they rolled up like a amount that she owed or something?
No, it was $2.75.
So why 20?
I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
It was like a mobster.
And I was, yeah, exactly. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to go to work tomorrow because I got to go down there and see what's up with this dude. You don't snatch away from a 6-year-old girl. You feel what I'm saying?
No, it's like, I remember like when Sean was like younger. And you go up for lunch and you don't have it, you forgot. They just say, okay, you know, we kind of like give you credit. We put it on your tab. You owe it. And, you know, if you didn't pay in a little while, which we never did, though, they would let the parent, the policy was let the parents know. Well, a guy like that shouldn't be working in a public school.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So what? How did it end?
Well, obviously I'm here, so I wasn't able to go down there to confront the situation.
I'd be more scared.
But her mother's hand.
I'm about to say, the person who was going is more than likely. It's a little bit. I hope that guy's okay.
He probably how would. Dare this guy?
Yeah, that's crazy. A little girl, you know what I'm saying? You
if she's just pocketing your $2.75 every day?
That'd be crazy.
That's something you just go straight to the principal with.
Yeah. You need to go to the principal. You got
to go right to the, you know,
pick off that dude and right in the parking lot. You know, what I'm
top
saying?
Of the chain.
I know a guy
from playing in the NFFC, right?
Yeah.
Crazy.
I know a guy, Greg.
I know you know a guy. You told me about many guys. Yeah. You know.
He does that.
So that was, I'm sorry we got off topic on that one, but that's kind of weighing on my, because I know
do you feel better than, do you feel better now that you talked that?
I got it off my chest, you know what I'm saying?
You feel like you're among your friends and you want to kind of talk about it, right?
Yeah, no doubt. You know what I mean? Because, you know, everybody don't want to see nothing happen to a little person.
No, of course, your daughter.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want anything happening to your daughter.
So what do you think of LaMarcus Aldridge missing on Kevin Durant?
It reminds me of Sean Estes.
Oh, man. That was such weak
shit. Sean Estes had one opportunity to throw out Roger Clemens.
Then he hit him in the butt. Oh, he missed him. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of. How about that?
Let's do a retaliation show. Who do we need to retaliate on? I mean, not amongst us. We need to find somebody to beef with.
You work on that.
The office is open, my friends.
Waiting to change. Aaron, we get into the baseball from last night. Shark Tank, coming up in hour number two, along with Dr. A. Stick around. Baseball talk next in the Roto Experts
get
in the morning.
Scotty.
It's Radio Network.
What is this, On Target here?
Once upon a time.
What's happening?
I don't like the song, but it is quite fantastic in 8-bit. I love it in 8-bit.
I just feel like I'm stuck on Target. I should be like, good Wednesday, everybody.
I love this song.
I'm Jake Silly, the best ranker in the world.
Tommy used to work on
the championships.
He's going on Target then,
but
Scott.
I know how to play every day on
Target.
I do play it every day, but
it's an opening song.
I absolutely love this song.
Chris Pavona. Every show's got songs. Why are we getting the theme song to On Target? Yes, it is.
You know what? I just personally, I don't know. I was just feeling a little Bon Jovi today.
Yeah, that's a great album. It's my Slippery When Wet.
The Jersey and Me came out this morning. I don't know why.
Yeah. Interesting.
Did you like the song though previously though, Greg?
It's like, of course.
Great 80s rock songs.
I'm from Jersey. I had no chance. I had no choice.
I don't like it.
I love it. I love that whole album.
I think Bon Jovi had, you know, Wanted, Dead or Alive, and Run. Like the two songs I like from Bon Jovi.
What about You Give Love a Bad Name, Never Say Goodbye. That whole album, I love it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
What? Why are you looking at me like that?
No, you were smiling and stuff.
Well, I can't smile, Scott.
What? No, I was wondering what you were smiling about. There's always something behind it.
I'm smiling because I'm happy. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be with my friends. Well, thanks for having me.
How many of us have that?
So, you know what?
It's funny. You look at this. You sing that song, Scott. I'm looking at a tweet from Bob Lung. The irony in that. Remember Bob Lung? You remember
Bob
Lung, right?
Yeah, Bob Lung, former Roto expert.
Friends. Remember he would come on the show?
Yeah,
How many of us have them?
Yeah, we used to play that.
So, you know what's very funny? We sat here literally a week ago. Jeff was over here. We talked to Dr. A. We asked about Robinson Cano, and he wound up playing that day, and he went 4 for 5, and he hit a home run, and everyone was like, "Oh, you were wrong, you know, Robinson Cano, blah, blah, blah."
No, they said I was wrong.
You said that.
They were wrong, and we're all like, listen, Corey knows what he's talking about. Everybody here on this table defended you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for the most part. But then you laughed at me because he played the next day, and then he hit a home run. And I said, a DL stint is coming.
Yeah, and Dr. A said he should rest for about 2 weeks.
Hmm? Who laughed at you?
I feel like somebody was laughing at me.
I wasn't on this panel.
I did mention that. I guess Cano is fine.
Let me clarify.
The guy had like 4 hits.
We were laughing at you, but not for that reason.
We saw what you did downstairs.
Maybe it's when you said my Golden State Warriors.
That's why.
Everybody on this panel agreed. And then, you know, he sits out every day, and he warms up before Monday night's game and looks like he's going to play. And, you know, he's like, you know what? I'm not ready yet. Last night, Robinson Cano goes on the disabled list for a sore quad. Corey Parson, ultimately, you turned out to be correct, sir.
Yeah, turned out to be correct. Listen, this is an injury that is going to need rest. That inflammation in that area, he's going to need rest. So take a little trip to the 10-day disabled list, excuse me, for his... Disabled list for his quadricep injury. So now we got that situation covered for Robbie Cano going to the DL. But listen, he's having a good Robinson Cano season. Robinson Cano, a player that throughout the course of his career, his illustrious championship career, he's been very reliable when it comes to durability. Now you get a little 10-day DL stint. He'll get healthy. He'll come back, and he'll be good to go. Not worried about Robbie Cano.
Well, I started Robinson Cano this week. That's the issue.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, that really hurts. Like, when you start a guy on Sunday and you get middle of the week. But, you know, a lot of us deal with it. Now Taylor Motter's going to get a chance to play some second base.
Yeah, the DFS community was pretty pissed off Monday night.
I'm sure they were.
I saw my Twitter all the time.
Yeah, the late scratch. Absolutely. All right, so that was the first piece of information with the Seattle Mariners. The second came late, you know, right before the game started last night at around 6:45 Eastern Time. We talked about it yesterday, and most people on this panel agreed that Edwin Diaz is not really in immediate danger. Is what we said. But if you wanted to speculate, I liked one guy. I liked Nick Vincent. You liked who, Matt? What did you go?
Tony Zick.
Scotty, you like Steve Cishek. But nothing was imminent until it was imminent and it happened. Edwin Diaz demoted from the closer's role for now.
I would be sending out offers to buy Edwin Diaz right now.
Okay. Yeah. So he was demoted from the closer's role because he has mechanical issue, major, quote, major mechanical issues that he needs to work out. And in order to do so, he can't do it in games. He has to be able to just work on the side, work in a lower level situation before getting his job back. And it certainly sounds like it ultimately he will get his job back. But, you know, again, we'll see. Last night, the Mariners have a one-run lead. And they bring in, Scotty was correct, Steve Cishek, which surprised me because he just came back from the DL, pitched him back-to-back nights, and he lets up a home run. Next guy up, Mark Szczepanski, he lets up a home run, which means I feel like we're in a good spot here, Bodega.
I'm actually not confident in even like Tony Zick. I mean, the guy, he's only been pitching like, say, 11 innings this season. You know, but he's got a 41% first pitch strike. That is not going to end well for him. So if he doesn't improve that, I mean, if Seattle's going to make any kind of run, I mean, they are ravaged by injuries, pitching, and now with Robinson Cano, it's eventually going to be Edwin Diaz's job. I mean, I just don't see any other way about it.
So, Scotty, would you, if you're an Edwin Diaz owner, which I am, which I do,
I reserve him. Now, you were saying he works on in the side. No, what they said was they're going to have, we'll use him in low leverage situations to work through his mechanical issues. So, like you said, Cishek got the first shot, gave up the go-ahead home run. Mark Rusemski comes in, he gives up another home run. Tony Zick, but it's probably going to be a bullpen by committee, like we talk about, an audition process until Diaz can get himself straightened out. You look at Tony Zick, and you know, you talk about the first pitch, you know, strike rate. You know, the guy has had control issues both now and in the minors. The strikeout rates have fluctuated, so I don't think it's an ideal profile for the closer. The big thing you got is that we were saying this yesterday about learning lessons during the season, is that, you know, Tony and I were talking about this morning on Sincana and Engel and the radio network that you know, people were drafting this guy fourth, fifth round ahead of other proven closers when he doesn't have the track record because of what he did basically in half a season. I don't like going early on closers or bidding high anyway, and you know, this already looks like a mistake.
Well, even you talked yesterday, Scotty, that you have Cody Allen everywhere. Edwin Diaz and Cody Allen are in the same spot. We're in the same tier.
No, but they were not ranked in the same tier.
But
I saw people ranking like Edwin Diaz fourth and Cody Allen 10th.
I don't know if Cody Allen was 10th, but you are right in the fact. I mean, I'm
like right people. Around there, though. He was not ranked on the same tier as Diaz.
But it all depends on format, too. Like in an overall competition, like the main event, I am going to pay for at least one closer. Now, a guy like Edwin Diaz and a guy like those guys only did it for, say, half a season.
Sure.
But they have dominant stuff. And they're on what I thought would be good teams for both of them. Not great teams. Both would have good teams. So that's why, I mean, look, I'd rather have Edwin Diaz today than Zach Britton. I mean, Britton, he got injured. It wasn't due because of his poor performance. But, you know, I mean, look at Chapman. Chapman's out for a month, and hopefully that's only a month.
Sure.
We don't know. I mean, the closer, I do not like to pay for saves, but it all depends on format.
For me, Edwin Diaz is my 10th ranked closer coming into this year, Cody Allen being 13th.
I'm saying, though, every draft I consistently saw Diaz going a few spots ahead of Allen. I felt like with the Andrew Miller factor, like people were looking at Diaz as like a top 4 or 5 closer, whereas Allen was like more towards the back end of like 8 to 10.
But it's, once again, it is what, May 17th today?
Yeah, still got time.
And like, even with these guys that are underperforming and like looking like, you know, he hasn't made it, or a hitter or a pitcher, whatever, however you want to look at it, it is May 17th. I mean, guys like Mike Napoli starting to get hot again. Last April, he did absolutely nothing. From May on, he hit 30 plus home runs. Guys like Brian Dozier, same time last year, he's actually doing better than he did last year. He's run more. He's getting caught a hell of a lot. But, I mean, these are guys that – guys will produce. It hasn't even gotten warm out.
Yep.
Pitchers who are underperforming will have a 2-month run where they're, like, unhittable. So you have to play the long game.
We've already seen, though, so many closers lose their jobs for performance, injury, whatever. You know, that's why – I can't spend up even for an Edwin Diaz.
Yep.
I can't blame somebody if they want to go Kenley Jansen just for the safety of it, you know. Or we've even seen Chapman get injured, though,
yep.
You know, and guys like the very top level. I'd rather wait because, You know, look, it's like I got Derek Holland for $2 in Tout Wars.
He's working out pretty good.
He leads the major league. He got his 17th save last
night. That's Greg Holland. Yeah,
Greg Holland. You know, but if Derek Holland got saves too, that made him very valuable. Yeah, he's doing very well as a starter.
Yes,
but you know, the point being is that like, yeah, with hitters you can say, okay, the guy started cold, he's going to get hot, you wait for it. But to lose your job is something different.
Bullpen idol,
indeed.
Bullpen idol. Like
they're
bullpen,
like they're like kickers in a way, because although the kicker is less important in fantasy football, but you know, kickers will lose their jobs. They'll even lose their job with a team, and it'll come back 2 years later.
But how about this?
Good.
Last year, Chapman missed a month. He was suspended for 30 games, right? What did he finish? Like 36 saves or something like that?
You knew Chapman was going to be good, though.
Yeah.
Well, so a lot of people were like, he's going to miss a month and this and that. There were people that weren't, you know.
Yeah, but you knew when he was there that he was going to get the job done. With Diaz, it was like he had no track record of doing this wire to wire. But because of the stuff and what he did for half a year, people were ranking him top five, and he's already lost his job.
I'm with you right now. You are right. But I'm saying in a 12-team league, I don't think you really have to pay up for closes except for Chapman and like Jansen. And if you want to include Britton into that,
if you're not going to do that, just wait.
But
man.
If you're playing in a deeper league or even in a 12-team league with an overall, you gotta invest in
something. So it kind of bothers me when you say look at Brandon Kinsler, because that's like almost a lucky thing, right? Like, yes, you're right. Brandon Kinsler's been awesome and it's worked out, but like, that's kind of lucky. Like, he was nobody's first closer off the board. Like, if you could, Brandon Kinsler, right? Someone could have drafted Francisco Rodriguez, who's done it for 20 years.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is with my closer strategy, though, I usually do it in tiers. I draft three. One is like probably just right around the top 10 or outside. Another one is like middling, and then another is a Kinsler type.
But you could have had Francisco Rodriguez, who stinks. That could have, or Natalie Feliz, who stinks.
I'm just saying. I'm agreeing with you. The whole closer thing is a crapshoot.
Yeah, it is. All right. We'll come back. We'll get more into the Seattle-Oakland game. Had a lot more headlines to do as well. A lot of baseball coming your way.
Rock out, Scotty.
He's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
This is when he really get hyped when they play a Kiss jam. There you go, Scotty. There you go. Greg, we got to get this guy in some kind of competition. We have to.
I'm ready to sponsor.
Yeah. I am. See, Scotty in the air champion, the air guitar championship, sponsored by CTM Baseball.
We're back here on the Roto Experts in the morning. And I wanted to just wrap up the Seattle and Oakland conversation. Scotty, I had another point you wanted to make.
Yeah, when you're talking about Kinsler, I actually think that's a good point. You were talking about disagreeing and saying, you know, that could happen. What I'm saying is the whole closer landscape is just it's like so full of landmines right now that if you're spending a high pick on it, I think you're taking a risk, because, like, you know, we're just seeing so many, you know, guys losing their jobs, disasters, things like that. Even when you're back there and you're back towards the end, you say, man, I got a Gmar Gomez. I think maybe I got a good value in it.
Why not?
It explodes. Yeah. You know, like an Adam Ottavino. What I'm saying is I agree with you. It can explode at the top. It can explode at the bottom.
Sure.
So I don't want to take one of my most premium picks and use it on a closer.
I understand, but you know, the reason I do is the ratios, you know, they could help you ultimately.
Right. I like to buy skills. You know, like you said, unproven, yes, but this, I mean, last season, you know, even with like Noah Syndergaard, I drafted him very high before I did it with Matt Harvey a couple seasons before that. You know, you have to take some chances with certain guys, and like I said, it depends on format. In a 12-teamer, I'm not going to go crazy.
See. Zero closer. That's how I'm doing my baseball drafts.
I don't know if you can do that.
Zero closer theory.
You can't punt an entire category and really try to win your league. You can't do it.
We did it last year.
They did it last year. Look, I'll admit.
It's very hard to do. It's probably the exception rather than the rule.
I did it not wanting to do it. It became out of necessity my first season in the main event. And I was tied going into the final weekend in my league. Not overall, but in my league. And I finished second. But I had like John Axford and somebody else. Somebody else got hurt. John Axford was terrible, lost his job, and I reached the point where I was like, I'm not going to mess with saves. I'm going to have starting pitching and dominate those categories.
Would you say, though, okay, maybe I'm wrong here, it's like it's probably not advisable to do, though, in most cases.
No, no. Look, if you're going for the overall, last season they just they dominated hitting and
stolen bases.
Yeah, their starting pitching was really top notch. It's not something I would ever advise to go into a draft to punt.
And then when we saw, I ran into Greg Ambrosius at FSTA while that run was going on last year, and he told me the very first year of the auction, the dude that won the overall had a 1 in saves. So it can happen.
It can happen. Well, yeah. But I guess like he says, perfect. You wouldn't advise it.
Yeah.
But again, we talk about context here. You know, you're a head-to-head player more than a roto player.
Sure.
It's you can punt saves in you know, because like, okay, I'll lose that one category, but I'll still win the week.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, wrapping up this Mariners game from last night without Robinson Cano, without Edwin Diaz. It was Nelson Cruz homering again. Matt Modica loves Nelson Cruz home runs, as he told us. His 10th homer of the year. Kyle Seager, his 4th homer of the year. Back-to-back games for both of these guys. On the other side, Ryan Healy hits his 7th home run of the year. Healy, a popular target in the spring by a lot of people. Batting .257 with a .296 OBP, but he does have the 7 home runs. Matt, what have you thought of Ryan Healy thus far?
I think if you own him, you have to be happy. I mean, you look on the flip side, a guy like Nick Castellanos that I know I like a lot. I think Scott likes a lot.
Yes.
And he's just not getting it done. I mean, it's you know, it's still only 6 weeks in, but in a 12-teamer, you know, you got to be looking to see what's on out there and the other options available. In a 15-teamer, you're definitely just holding on to him.
The Tigers and the Orioles played 13 innings last night, and it seemed like this one would never end. So much so that, Corey, this time, 5 hours and 19 minutes of baseball.
That's disgusting. That is disgusting. That's not right. You shouldn't do that to anybody.
Yeah.
To paying fans. You shouldn't do that to the players. They played for 5 hours?
Yes, and 13 minutes.
There are baseball purists who would tell you that they love it.
Yeah, I have no problem with it.
Purist to my left here.
Rob Manfred doesn't like it, though. Baseball has to fix their extra inning thing.
I don't think they do at all. I mean, everybody's going to point out, oh, it ruined their staff. First, if you have the minor leagues, you have, you know, AA, AAA.
True.
You have all these things to do. All of a sudden, now it's this, you know, oh, my God. The biggest thing with baseball is, I want to see starting pitchers go longer into games. I don't want to see all these middle relievers coming in. That's what's, you know, slowing up the game.
Yeah, I agree.
It's gotten so specialized. You know, I want to see them train these kids. In Japan, okay, they pitch once a week. But there are guys like Leo Mazzoni from the Braves.
Okay, yeah.
He pretty much ran that pitch organization for like 24 years. They had like three Tommy Johns over his ring.
I didn't know what he was doing.
It still doesn't. That's not what he's. Leo Mazzoni kind of just like this.
Oh, okay.
Well,
yeah.
Leo Mazzoni is always rock back and forth.
Sure, you were doing other things.
I was getting a little. Yeah,
rocking back and forth.
But yeah, here's my point.
But just your head.
Yeah. Well, I had to get more of the shoulders into it. Or
yeah.
Well, can show me your Leo Mazzoni impression.
My Leo Mazzoni impression.
Go ahead.
You know, so I'm sitting here and I'm just like rocking like this.
I think it was more pronounced than that, though.
Certainly not as pronounced. Well, like,
yeah, I think Scott went a little too far with it. You might have to push it up a little.
Well, God damn it, I can't imitate every coach and manager.
There you go.
Everything that Major League Baseball has tried to do to preserve the starting pitcher has not worked.
Okay.
And I think you have to look at guys based on size and everything. Guys like, you know, a Roger Clemens is built to be a workhorse.
Yeah.
He's a guy that's, you know, he... I'm not going to look at Roger Clemens and Johan Santana the same way. Or even Pedro Martinez. I'm going to be a little... And in certain instances, it is correct. Matt Harvey, throughout his career, once he hit that 100-pitch limit, was not as effective right after that.
And you talk about pitching, Greg. You know, the story of this game, Tigers-wise especially, was the pitching. Matt Boyd is a guy like, okay, that first start of the season, gets the White Sox, he got blew up. He got blew up. Then he about had 3 or 4 decent starts. Then the last time out wasn't so good. And last night he got totally ripped. 2 1/3 innings, 7 earned runs. It's like, I worry about with a guy like Boyd, you know, and I have him in the Granite Street Tavern League, that he's going to do this to me. And there were a lot of these cases last night. But just, you know, Matt Boyd, I feel like I can't trust him. And then Justin Wilson comes in, and he gives up a big home run to Mark Trumbo. K-Rod has a chance to redeem himself in the late inning. He gives up a home run. Right now, he's just like, the Tigers pitching staff is like driving me crazy. Verlander is like not pitching well either.
It's not just the Tigers, it's the Orioles too. So Wade Miley goes five innings, he allowed four runs, and then Michael Givens comes on in the sixth, pitches fine, comes out in the seventh, can't get a guy out, and they bring in Brad Brock in the seventh, which is a Brock owner. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Because because as we all know from last year, Buck Showalter doesn't do this, right? He doesn't bring on his best reliever in the seventh. Brings on Brad Brock to get out of the seventh, and he does not.
Yeah, Brad Brock has been very disappointing the last week or so. They do have O'Day, Alex Asher.
Alex Asher is 100%.
He was a guy that I scooped up in AL only, and I think he might be becoming more relevant in mixed if this trend continues. I'm going to hope that Brock gets another chance.
My only issue with Alec Asher, not from a skill perspective, mainly just a fantasy save perspective, he can go 2-3 innings that I think Dusty won't use him as the traditional closer, which is fine. Like, it's going to help you the ratios. It's going to be Kyle Barraclough and Corey Knebel before he was a closer, and Chris Devinsky. Like, I think of Alec Asher more like a Chris Devinsky than I do a traditional closer.
I like to see him in the rotation, be honest with you.
I agree with you.
By the way, I know you like my Terry Collins, and you're wondering about this Brad Brock thing. You can ask Buck Showalter about it if you like.
Oh, boy. Is Brad Brock still a closer, Buck?
Look, just had a bad night last night. Talented player, good pitcher, got good stuff. I feel like I can come back tomorrow night and do just fine. Don't worry about Brad Brock.
Good one, Scotty. I love it.
So anyway, let's get into the hitting. We talked about the bad pitching of both teams. Obviously, for bad pitching, it means the hitting went wild. And I want to start, of course, with J.D. Martinez. You guys just talked about him a couple of minutes ago. Since coming off the DL, he's been absolutely on fire. Two more home runs last night. Four home runs in total in his week back, or 5 days back or whatever. He's batting 500 at the moment. He's been absolutely scorching hot. You kind of had a disagreement a little bit. You said, listen, if you could package J.D. Martinez with someone, Matt, you're trading him for an ace. Goodbye.
Yeah, I either want an ace or a
superstar.
Yeah, a first-round pick player, if I'm getting a bat back. I mean, look, I'm looking at the injury. We could talk to Dr. A about this. I don't feel confident about that foot. You know, this is the very definition of selling high. The guy hit two homers last night at Grand Slam. He looks fantastic. This is when you sell high.
I feel like that's almost playing scared, with all due respect. I feel like, if the foot was an issue, the guy wouldn't be hitting 400 or four home runs since he came off the DL. Look, neither you or I are a doctor. Maybe we can talk to Corey about it and see what he thinks about the Liz Frank. But this is the same J.D. Martinez that we saw last year. And if the foot's a problem, I'm not seeing it.
Corey, Scotty just said, by trading J.D. Martinez, that's playing scared.
I look at it the opposite way.
Same.
I look at it the opposite way. I think holding on to him is playing scared.
No, how is that playing scared?
Because Matt's making a move.
Baseball is an everyday sport. He cannot DH. It's going to take. Look, his foot was sore even in the minors in his rehab.
He's been playing right field.
Kevin Durant had one 2 years ago. He came back.
Had that surgery again.
Had to go out and end up missing the season. Dez Bryant had one 2 years ago.
Those are different sports, though.
But he's in center. He's in outfield running every day.
He can't DH on the. I think he's a fantastic player. If 100% healthy, I wouldn't be looking to trade him. I'd be looking to trade for him.
You said, let's have Dr. A settle it.
That's it.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Dr. A, of course, coming up around 9:20 Eastern time.
I love Dr. A.
He's a good guy.
I love Dr. A.
He's a good guy. I want to talk to him about that. Victor Martinez yesterday also hit a home run, his second of the year for Detroit, for Baltimore. We had a lot of home runs. We'll get to them in just a moment. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. We are simulcasting live on Fantasy Sports Network. And you can listen to us live every day here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
There you go. He's turning it on now. Turn him up in the headphones. Turn the king up in the headphones.
Turn the amp up.
Turn the amp up for the king. There we go.
Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Right out of the Orioles here. Put up a lot of home runs, including J.J. Hardy second. Mark Schobo's fifth. I'm Justin Wilson. Chris Davis at two. Up to eight. It's good for my team. And then that was a long run to the head. It's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, Baltimore is going to... They're going to crush a lot of home runs. Crush Davis got into the action last night, which was good to see.
By the way, Crush Davis, up to 266. The OBP is 384. Now with the two home runs, Davis has got eight homers, so... Okay.
Yeah, no.
We're okay.
266. You're
thrilled. Run away.
By the way, Trey Mancini's hitting 287.
Yeah,
too.
Trey Mancini hasn't really stopped yet either.
You know, when he went cold, like about 2 weeks, two, 3 weeks ago, people started cutting him. And I tried to pick him up in like more than one league.
Yeah, I have him in two spots. I mean, I'd like
Why
to see him.
What would you really spend? You know, nothing?
Yeah, no, really didn't cost you much at all.
Yesterday afternoon, Freddie Freeman just kept on hitting. Has the tie for Major League lead right now in home runs with Aaron Judge. 14 homers now for Freddie Freeman every day. Every freaking day.
Here's the thing with Freeman. It's, there are a lot of people who are skeptical coming into this year about, you know, he hit 34 homers last year. That's an outlier. You know, I don't know if Freddie can do that again. Now he's putting in he's in a hitter's park. But the interesting thing about Freddie, and, you know, both Corey and I are fans of Freddie Freeman as a player. You know, like, 9 of the 14 home runs have come on the road, so we had to see a binge at home, which is crazy. Now, the BABIP is very high, but his career BABIP is pretty high. So, but the isolated power is kind of high, but that's a really good ballpark. And the impressive thing about Freddie Freeman, and I think we were talking about this yesterday, the day before, is that he's always done it even when there's been nobody around him. Freddie Freeman just might be the best, impressive, all-around pure hitter in the game right now.
I mean, Freeman is... I think he's a fantastic player. There's no argument there, like Scott says. I mean, I think getting Matt Kemp is really a boom to him. Having that hitter behind him... I mean, he's done it before, but without that guy behind him.
Just helps.
It helps him a lot. I mean, I heard some smart people in the preseason saying he wasn't a 300 hitter, wasn't a 30-home run hitter... I didn't get that. I can understand if some people were a little hesitant to pay like top 20, but I mean, for me, it was either Freeman or Votto in a lot of cases.
Right. And you know, we talk about a lot with numbers here, Greg, but also, you know, I like to bring in the other side of it. When this guy first came up to the majors, the Braves promoted him immediately when he was young in his career, and he was in that clubhouse with guys like Chipper Jones and Brian McCann and Tim Hudson, and they had a big influence on him. And Freddie Freeman's been a leader in that clubhouse for a long time. He knows how to carry himself like a pro, both on and off the field.
I think what Scott just said there, too, especially for young players, is having a veteran leadership showing you how to conduct yourself and help you out, as you know, because it's definitely not easy. Because in baseball, you are going to struggle. You are going to hit cold spots.
We're seeing that right now with the Yankees. I mentioned Matt Holliday has taken Aaron Judge sort of, you know, into his wing. You know,
that's cool. That's what's up.
Yeah.
Kevin Pillar, his sixth homer of the year yesterday off Jaime Garcia, 313, 365 OBP of Kevin Pillar. He's just been tremendous.
Everything I wish Kevin Kiermaier was.
100%. I picked him up on free agency 2.5 weeks ago.
Yeah, I drafted him in a league. That was all Nando. Nando wanted Kevin Pillar. I wanted Josh Reddick. We took them both. Pillar's just been outstanding.
Reddick's been doing good for you too, though.
Yeah, Reddick's been fine. He's been outstanding.
Been really nice value.
Kevin Pillar, and I wish I got him. I wish I cut Kiermaier sooner, of course, for Kevin Pillar. Hour number one, just like that.
In the books.
In the books. When we come back, we've got a whole lot more baseball to talk about. So stick around. We have much more Roto Experts in the morning coming your way. Remember, Dr. Ray, cut up 9:20 Eastern, and a little Shark Tank coming your way as well. Roto Experts rolls on right after this.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the morning starts now.
Hour number two underway. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. What a fun, very, very quick hour there.
That it was.
Very, very quick hour.
Time flies when you're having fun, as the cliche goes.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. We had a lot of games, of course, last night. We talked about Adam Wainwright, right, over the weekend, pitching, what, 7 shutout innings out of nowhere?
Yeah.
CeCe Sabathia was damn close to matching him. We compared Sabathia and Wainwright. Like, who would you rather have? I said Wainwright, and we really kind of comparable. Last night, Sabathia, 6 2/3 shutout innings to try to match him. 4 strikeouts, couple of walks, 5 hits. Again, Kansas City is a hapless offense right now, and Sabathia and the Yankees took advantage. Gary Sanchez with his 3rd homer of the year is a 3-run shot in the 3rd, while Chris Carter hit his 2nd of the year for the New York Yankees. Jason Hamill, 6 innings, 5 runs. He allowed, did not strike out a single batter, while the only person to strike out anybody for the Royals, Al Albuquerque.
Here's the thing with Hamill. He's just been a disaster this season. You figured he might have been like what you talk about, that 6th pitcher at like the end of your staff. And after his last start, he had the worst ERA of all qualified starters in the majors. So far as Sabathia goes, it kind of proves a point about how maybe to target the Royals both in daily and maybe in seasonal. If somebody cut Sabathia, I wouldn't have blamed anybody for streaming him against the Royals. Last night, was Sabathia's 13th win at Kauffman Stadium. That's the most wins that he has in any road venue, Scott, in his career.
If I would have told you yesterday that I was going to stream CC Sabathia, you'd have laughed at me.
No, against the Royals?
Yes, you would have laughed at me.
I would have not laughed at you.
Are you certain, Scott?
Yes. You stream against the Royals, you always have a possibility for success. They actually tweaked their lineup and put Sadie's Escobar over there last week, and he's barely hitting 160 over that period.
I think you're full of it.
What?
I think you're full of it.
You're calling me a liar. A Knicks fan wearing a Golden State Warriors hat is calling me a liar.
I love it, Greg. I love it. Yeah. I get him every time, Greg.
I get you too, though.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
It seems too easy.
Yeah.
So there you go. St. Louis last night. I thought that was...
Boo.
I thought that was interesting as well. The St. Louis Cardinals fell to Boston 6-3. It was Eduardo Rodriguez. Wasn't as dominant as we were used to seeing Eduardo Rodriguez in recent days and weeks. 6 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs. Strikeout 5. That came later in the game. Wound up walking 2. But the offense did enough. I saw Matt Carpenter of St. Louis had a sack fly to shortstop.
Yeah, it was actually like in short outfield, and then Dexter fouled a tag from 3rd and scored.
Yep.
Rodriguez, he's been a find. The Red Sox have won 5 of his 6 starts.
There you go. Only 2-1 though for Rodriguez.
I just think if John Farrell moves Mookie Betts down in that lineup, he should be fired.
I agree.
Yeah. Been the
so
his mother was at the game, and he homered in the first at bat.
Leadoff homer, 7th of the year for Mookie Betts. And Jackie Bradley Jr., we called out him a couple of days ago. Bradley, his 3rd home run of the year last night for Boston. When we return, a lot more baseball to get to. Dr. Ray coming up in a little bit as well. Roto Experts in the Morning rolls on right after this. Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network here with you, Matty Modica, Corey the Fantasy Executive Parson, Scott the King Angle, we're hanging out, and gentlemen, Lance Lynn for the Cardinals, 6 innings, 3 hits, 4 runs, only 2 of them earned, 4 strikeouts. I was probably the high guy on Lynn in the spring. I just thought, I always remembered, listen, he's a good pitcher. And if he can just stay healthy, I think he'll remain that. And he's, I mean, the 2.78 ERA is fantastic. I know he led a bunch of runs against Miami, and in 4 runs, only 2 of them earned here against Boston. But Lance Lynn's been pretty good, Matt.
He is a good pitcher, like you said. I don't think he's ever going to be a great pitcher.
I know, I don't think either.
I'm not saying you're saying that. I think the problem, if he could kind of, and we could say this about most right-handed pitchers too, if you could kind of figure lefties out a little better or not get so take such a beating on them, you know, his game could even go better. The defense in St. Louis was a problem last year. I thought it'd be much improved this season. It's kind of not so far. So that kind of hurt him too last night.
Yeah, it did. But Lance Lynn, again, at 2.78 ERA, he is what he is. And I think that's a very good thing. I'm not asking him to be an ace. Mm-hmm. You're asking him to be number three on your team.
But exactly like what you're saying, I think with all fantasy players, too, you got to have the correct expectations.
Sure,
you got to have your expectations for your ace, your number two, your number three. And like Scott said before, there's guys he doesn't think he can trust in the back end. But, I mean, honestly, a lot of those 6-7 starters, you can't trust, but you have to take that gamble.
Absolutely. Last night, the D-backs beat the Mets 5-4. It was Zach Greinke, not really pitching all that great. 6 2/3, 4 runs. Strike out 8, which is good, but a lot of those 4 runs. Yeah. And the bullpen for Arizona really gets the job done as Archie Bradley pitches a good 8th, and Fernando Rodney, perfect 9th.
And here's the thing with Greinke, and one illustrative reason about how he's turned it around this year. Last year, he was like 5-5. With an ERA over 5 at home. This year he's 4-0 with an ERA just over 280. You know, Greinke really turned things around too. They were talking to MLB Network on MLB Network about this. Is that when he got bombed early in the year by the Dodgers, he was talking internally a lot of his coaches and stuff, and they were saying your slider just doesn't have the same velocity. He's worked on that, and you know he's turned into what Zach Greinke used to be.
Yeah, he's a very cerebral pitcher, and even with a slight decrease in his velocity, the guy's a veteran. He knows how to pitch. It was kind of crazy how he walked in a run last night, but was able to get out of that jam. He did give up a home run, a solo shot to Curtis Granderson, which
is like the lunar eclipse.
Yeah, which I didn't have a problem with that one.
Sure.
I think maybe the Rene Rivera one was, he was like, you know what, I'm going to challenge this guy.
Sure.
He just...
Oh, sure, he said the same thing about Greinke, too, to be honest with you. I mean, sorry, the Granderson as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's Granderson.
But he's a guy, somebody asked me yesterday on Twitter, would you trade Greinke for Charlie Blackman? And just straight up without knowing anything,
sure.
I'd rather have Charlie Blackman.
But I believe
in Zach Greinke. I believe this is real. Somebody I would want to have rest of the season. And if this humidor comes in effect in the next month or so and helps out the pitching side in any kind of way, then yeah.
You know, and Greinke doesn't even need that humidor the way he's been pitching at home this year. And to me, when you have a good pitcher, you know, he can pitch anywhere.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. In all honesty, Scotty. Time alone, not a great pitcher.
No,
he probably can't.
No, I was very surprised that he had a decent start.
The
first time out, and you know, there's got to be something better in the minor leagues.
Yeah, but see, the one thing that I am kind of happy that the Mets are doing is they have some off days coming up. Robert Gzelman is getting moved to the
skipped,
bullpen.
Yeah,
and I think that's a good thing. And I think teams should do this from time to time, even with more seasoned players. When they get in a rut, you can build your confidence in the bullpen. You can have a couple of, you know, nice outings, and Gzelman needs that. He needs a little work with Werther on the side as well. I still think there is potential here with this kid for this season. The Mets are going to need him. I've seen him dropped in a ton of leagues. I mean, 12 teams, absolutely. Even 15 teams, he is worthy of being dropped. But he's a guy that I might scoop in this weekend for a dollar or two if I get him and see what happens.
Wow, an optimist.
Look at that. Eternal optimist.
Met optimist, look at that.
Is Matt Modica.
You got to buy low on plays you think.
You got to believe, I think.
No, but it's like plays you think were good coming into the season that got off to a bad start. I say this all the time.
Yeah.
By the way, that annoyed me, Greg. It was like the Mets started like using that, and then all of a sudden, like, what, 7-10 years later, the Phillies are adopting that. Like, that's not your slogan.
The Phillies use it?
Yeah.
It was Tug McGraw, though.
Yeah. But Tug McGraw, that became like a Mets rallying cry.
Well, I think it remains Mets rallying cry.
The Phillies were using it when they won the World Series in, what, 2008?
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were saying, you got to believe it. Like, where'd you get that slogan from?
Paul Goldschmidt.
From?
That was a Mets slogan.
When?
1973.
That was the Phillies were using it 50 years later.
I'm saying, though, it originated with the Mets. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you know Mariano Rivera wasn't the first closer to use Enter Sandman?
Of course he wasn't. Billy Wagner was.
There you go.
Yeah. Paul Goldschmidt had his 10th save of the 10th steal of the year, while Chris Owings had his 9th. He has Mike Tomas. He doesn't do much besides hit home runs, which is okay. He's 8th home run of the year back-to-back.
He's really heated up, but the thing with Owings is you're really getting the speed there.
Everything.
You're getting everything, but the speed has been really, really nice. The Greta Street Tavern League, I got him in the 23rd round. You know, this guy has been a really, really nice find. Tomas had like the great first month, cooled off for 2 weeks, and now he's heating up again. It's this Diamondbacks offense, you look at it up and down, besides Goldschmidt, it's impressive. We have yet to see the power binge from Brandon Drury, too, and I think that's coming.
Yeah, I can see Brandon Drury hitting like 15 home runs.
Yeah, so I don't think it's massive power binge is coming. I think like 15.
No, what I'm saying is a power binge is coming where you're going to see like, I think you're going to see like 4 home runs in a week.
Okay.
I mean, like Yasmani Tomas, he's like the ideal like Orioles type player or Texas Rangers. I could see him. I mean, if he could ever get to the American League, it would be nice to see him in the DH role for a full season.
Yesterday the Cubs defeated Cincinnati by the score of 9-5, and I felt like all the Cubs runs came on home runs, or at least it felt like that. John Lackey, 5 1/3, 7 hits, 3 runs, struck out 3, while Bronson Arroyo goes 5 and allows 5 for Cincinnati. But for the Cubs, here's the interesting stuff. It was who hit the home runs, right? Kyle Schwarber, his 6th homer of the year, and he's really struggling. But listen, Joe Maddon says, I'm not moving him down. I'm not sending him down. I get it. He's batting 187 right now. We're still league. He's having great at-bats. They're going to come around soon. 6th homer of the year for Schwarber last night. Ian Happ hit his 2nd homer of the year. Now, the Cubs have played everybody. They're resting everybody. They're benching everybody. Ben Zobrist is a name that, as an owner of Ben Zobrist, you know this. I'm an idiot and drafted Ben Zobrist over my man Odubel. Dude, like, doesn't, like, I knew he wasn't going to play every day, but he's, like, not
he
playing.
He's a Madden favorite, though. And
I
think maybe he's
but he's
massaging.
Not playing a lot right now.
But there was some talk that he wanted to like massage his playing time at some point. So maybe it's early on. I think as the season goes on, I think he will be there for them.
And with Schwarber, it was so interesting because that was like the longest home run of his career, and 465 feet, I believe it was. And you know, he was really, really slumping pretty bad.
Yeah.
I mean, even with that home run, he has a 105 batting average in the last week. Coming into last night, he had only 5 home runs in the entire month of May. Now, they were breaking this down. Ryan Dempster
was
on television.
0 in April, though.
Yeah.
That's the bigger number to me.
Yeah. Ryan Dempster was breaking this down, his swing, and saying he's hitting too much way off his front foot. Mm. And last night, he adjusted,
poor
and he got
mechanics.
The torque. He got the torque off his bad foot, and he launched it. And that, I actually believe that's something that could really turn Schwarber around and get him on a hot streak.
We'll see. Anderson Russell hit his 3rd, Anthony Rizzo his 7th. But I want to go back to Happ, guys. Ian Happ called up, and I talked about him yesterday. I couldn't get in on him. I got a lot of tweets yesterday. Do I pick up Ian Happ? How much do I spend on Ian Happ? Ian Happ or Bradley Zimmer? Like, these are the questions that I had yesterday.
Yeah.
And I couldn't
Did
get...
Did you answer them?
Of course I answered them. I couldn't, like, totally get in on Happ because I didn't know where he was going to play.
Or you didn't know if he was going to go right back to the minors,
correct.
Too.
And here he is, batting cleanup, playing center field, and moving over to left field later in the game, and his 2nd home run of the year. What do we do about Ian Happ?
I mean, I understand in a 12-team league. In a 15-team league, I was recommending stashing him. I tried to get him this week. I did not. He, you know, some leagues I was in, he went for $289 to one of the best fantasy players that I know.
Who, Japanka?
Yeah. I mean, I was quite, you know, shocked. But he is, in terms of prospects, he's the Dodgers. I mean, he's the Cubs' Cody Bellinger. The bat is ready. The power is there. He's an injury away from getting every day at bats.
He's got an extra base hit in every game so far that he's played. There's just been 3. And then you talk about Zimmer. You know, Zimmer struck out 3 times last night. That's the big bugaboo with him. But, you know, they love his defense. And, you know, he also has a lot of power and speed. So he might stay up with the Indians.
All right, so that's something we'll have to monitor as well. When we come back, I expect Dr. Ray to join the program. And a quick NFL note as well. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the Morning coming your way next. So 2 pieces of NFL news notes. Dr. A just coming up in a second. First, the owners are expected to ratify a measure they previously have tabled, overtime, going from 15 minutes to 10 minutes in the regular season.
Pace of play.
I'm fine with that. I don't mind ties.
More ties, more fun. Hey, no, he catch me.
I don't like football. I'll be honest. I'm not a fan of ties in football, but I don't have a problem with it in a regular season.
Okay. Mike Freeman, NFL reports that on, what is it, 60 Minutes? On CBS this morning with Charlie Rose, which is not on today in here, but Charlie Rose. Giselle admits to Charlie Rose that Tom Brady was concussed last year.
When?
Had a concussion last year, quote, he does have concussions. Tom Brady concussed at some point.
Last season?
Seems like the NFL's not doing a great job of concussions.
Hmm.
Which is not a surprise.
I mean, it's not a surprise, but I mean, look at this game. It is a rough and tumble game. It is the most physical. I mean, you know this coming in. You know this coming in. People still play it. People still love it.
But it's not right, though, because if he's getting concussed and not going into the protocol, 10, 15 years from now, I don't want Tom Brady trying to sue the NFL.
No, no, I understand it. But there are players that, like we see pitchers in baseball, yeah, when they're not 100%. They're like, oh, I'm fine, I'm fine.
Yeah.
People don't want to come out. So like, Tom Brady is like the ultimate competitor. But even other guys that might be worried about losing their job if they, yeah, say, you know what?
True,
too. So, I mean, it's a tough thing to handle. And, you know, it's horrible because, I mean, you see some of these guys after they retire 5-10 years later, commit suicide, you know, just mentally, yeah, you know, being like vegetables.
You know, also, though, they're always looking to improve the game. And I read an interesting story about that, about how the NFL is going to debut a new safer helmet this year. I forget the name. It's a newer company where actually, like, they're using different technology. Like, and some NFL players have actually been advising on the board of it. Guys like Doug Baldwin and some other guys. And they're actually unveiling a new helmet. Like, the teams have bought some of these new helmets that have new protective technology inside.
Gotta protect your brain.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of the brain, speaking of injuries, I think it's a good time to bring in Dr. Ray from Inside Injuries. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing, doing very well.
How you doing, Doc? I got Jeff out this morning, Doc, and I'll be going along. I'll be breaking it down while you talk.
Excellent. I do want to talk. I just heard you guys talk about, you know, players hiding injuries because of the not, they have contracts, they have to live a life, and they're trying to, you know, it's very interesting in my experience that the players a lot of times don't understand the long-term effects of the decisions that they make when they play through injury. And we don't expect them to too much, but they have to be convincible, you know, because they can significantly hurt their career playing through an injury, you know, as opposed to, like, you know, short-term effects is just getting sit out for a couple of weeks, even a couple of weeks, and then coming back in, and they had drastically reduced their, you know, chance of getting injured. But if they are hiding it and they're trying to play through it, it was one of the hardest things to convince a professional athlete to sit down.
100%, and especially in the NFL, you only play 16 weeks, and it's extremely hard, yep, especially when you give them the painkillers that make them feel nothing. So there you go. Let's get into some of these baseball injuries, exactly, though, Doc. And I want to start with something we started with last week. We opened up the show talking about it this morning, and that was Robinson Cano. Right, we talked about Robinson Cano, and he was somebody we were concerned just needs some rest, better stretching, whatnot. Plays the day after we talked to you, and then everyone's like, "Oh, you guys got it wrong." And you know what? Robinson Cano was on the DL yesterday with a strained quad. So nice job here by you, Sir Doc, and by Corey Parson, our resident doctor here.
Well, I'll tell you that, numbers don't lie. I mean, the guy had a soft tissue quad injury, and our optimal recovery time is 1 week. What did he do? He played in 12 hours.
Yep, exactly.
And I'm telling you, this is a perfect example of data shows that if you go down with a soft tissue quad injury and you increase your chance of injury 50% by playing the next day. If you stay 1 week off, let it heal, let the strain go down, it will be a lot less likely to get injured. And of course, now he's escalated it to a grade one. Now he's got an ORT of 3 weeks, and he's an elevated and below average. He should get back to above average. But I think he now will have to be at elevated injury risk the rest of the year because he's injured that repetitive injury to that one area. The algorithm does not look, does not see that as very nice. You know, it really negates that for an athlete if they get injured to the same same body part in a short period of time.
Corey, it could have been all of it avoided if he just would have rested.
If he would have rested like me and Dr. A said last week, that was me and Dr. A's advice to Robinson Cano last week, was to get some rest, to get off of this. Right. He could have been on the road to recovery. So go ahead, Scott.
Right.
So, Doc, we talked a lot about the Mets last week, and they're saying Cespedes is about a week. Cespedes is about a week away, and they said, you know, Mats and Seth Lugo are starting rehab assignments. Now, in addition to going into those guys, but also you look at the wave of injuries, and some people could say, okay, it's bad luck as Drubal Cabrera, you know, dives for a ball in the out, you know, at shortstop, and he injures his thumb. But when you have such a rash of injuries, you know, and everybody's blaming the medical staff among the Met fans and fantasy players, is it more a thing of like, you know, maybe they aren't conditioning the guys properly? You know, maybe it's something in the strength and conditioning staff. You know, are these guys not prepared physically? You know, what's going on here? Is it just bad luck, or is it something more?
Well, in my experience, it's so multifactorial, but, you know, a lot of it has to do with the influence that the medical staff has over the players and the management, right? And so, you know, there's a lot of opinions and, you know, thoughts that go into whether a player should rest and start and all of that stuff. And, you know, certain teams have where the medical staff makes advice, but they don't really have any decision-making ability, and it's really on the coach and it's really on management to see if a player is going to get back onto the field. And it, you know, you see all these rash of injuries with the Mets. It's not so much that the medical staff is not good. I mean, I'm sure they're fantastic, but the problem is really, you know, they don't have partly what's wrong with professional sports today. Not that I want to plug what we're doing, but they don't have the data. Like, they don't have this 10-year, 15-year history of data to say, hey, this body part, this injury, I got to rest a minimum of 6 days before it comes out. It's almost like sabermetrics for injuries, you know? And so the problem with that is that it starts to avalanche. It starts to escalate, right? So if you don't rest a guy, he gets injured. If you bring a guy back too soon, then all of a sudden these are repetitive injuries. And notice that a lot of these guys are pitchers for the Mets, right? So chronic, you know, throwing injury, you know, extremity type injuries, these are the things that are going to creep up if you have, you know, multiple players that are not sort of following this type of preventative mechanism. But I think at the end of the day, in my experience dealing with teams and trainers and medical staff, et cetera, it's really about the decision and influence that the medical staff has over a team and how many inputs there are in terms of getting a player back onto the field. And I think in the Mets situation, there's probably the medical staff is probably not as strong from a decision-making ability.
We're talking to Dr. A, inside injuries. He did say that he's sure that the Mets doctors are great, and I can't confirm that, or, you know, whatever. But nevertheless, you know, whatever you say, but, Doc, it's fine.
Yeah, so, like, real quickly, so Cespedes, you know, we had him at, you know, elevated injury risk because of this, and even though he's resting and he's running on Monday, guys, believe it or not, our algorithm is saying now he's got into high injury risk and to avoid him, just to avoid him. You know, right now. So that's what our algorithm's saying there. Steven Matz, again, he's at high injury risk. You know, he could join the Mets in early June, but again, right now, he's at high injury risk. Seth Lugo is not at high injury risk. He's at elevated injury risk, but his HPF is below average. He starts the rehab assignment on Thursday. He will probably be elevated, though, still at that point. So this is not looking really good for the Mets starting, you know, sort of pitching staff and some of these guys. And then, of course, unfortunately, the whole blood clot issue, you know, with Familia, you know, the posterior circumflex humeral artery. It's amazing that they give us the actual artery. The problem is that usually blood clots happen in veins, not arteries. So I'm kind of confused, you know, about, you know, with Chris Bosh on the Heat where he had that DVT, they called it a blood clot in the leg, right? That's all in the vein. In the artery, I don't understand. There's no blood blood clot. There is clots in the artery, but usually it's associated with a vein. But anyway, it's his season's probably going to be over. And you know how these blood clots come back and forth, and if they propagate and move, then it can go into the lungs, and that's a life and death issue. So, again, these kinds of guys, Familia may not have a career, unfortunately. I hate to say that, but, you know, this is just what happens from what we've seen over the last decade with blood clots.
Hey, Doc, good morning. A player that we mentioned, I think, last week, but I'm at the opinion to sell high on this guy. He's come back from the DL on fire. That's J.D. Martinez. Are you with me that he's a guy that we should be selling, or would you be buying?
Well, J.D. Martinez, you know, he did have an injury. And you guys are killing me here. That wasn't the player you mentioned to me on the list. Oh. So.
Well, you know, Doc, he had the Liz Frank injury, Doc. And basically, what we're trying to figure out with the Liz Frank injury for an outfielder, somebody who's running in the outfield the whole time. So basically, he had the Liz Frank injury in the preseason, took the time off, got it together. Now he comes back. He's absolutely on fire, Doc, but he's dealing with that issue with that Liz Frank sprain. More or less, what we're saying, I feel like the app would say that the Liz Frank sprain would, more or less, is something that will continue to bother him throughout the course of the season, especially because of the nature of the position he plays.
Yeah, it's short-term, he'll be okay, but this is a long-term recurrent injury, so expect him potentially to have this injury again throughout the season at some point.
All right, there you go, Dr. A, Inside Injuries. Talk to him each and every week. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Appreciate the time from Dr. A, InsideInjuries.com. Get a chance to talk to Dr. A more next week, no doubt about it. But now it's time, gentlemen, to enter into the tank. Now, it has been quite a little while since we joined the tank. We went in the tank because, you know, we were doing it for auction values and how much we pay for a player. But now, given that we are over a month into the season, about a quarter way through the year, I thought it would be nice to get into the tank and talk about some players that maybe aren't performing all that well right now that we expect to still be, well, excellent. And by excellent, I mean inside the top 50. So your task today, gentlemen, is I want to know players that are outside the top 100 that you believe will finish inside the top 50. Hit the music, and here we go. Matt Modica, you, sir, will be first in the tank.
What are you going to talk? Okay, and we got to start with a pitcher.
Oh, we got a pitcher. I like pitchers.
Everybody
what
likes
is your name,
to,
sir? What is your name?
You know. From what company, please?
Yeah, what company do you represent? You're in the show.
I don't know if
tank.
I want to invest in you.
Yeah, do we want to invest in the player, Mr. Modica?
Do we want to invest in the player? You want the player's name right now?
Oh, that's up to you. It's your presentation. We're just asking questions.
It's Jacob DeGrom, who's currently 151 on to the ESPN Player Rater. He's a guy that I believed in prior to spring training, where he had a very nice price. And then once he started throwing 97, that shot up and you had to pay top dollar for him. The thing is with Jacob DeGrom is everything is there. The command and the control has been a little off, and it's kind of hurt him right now. But if you guys like to play the stock market, right? Everybody's going to look at if you can get a depressed stock that's going to really return a nice value in, say, a short term. Everything's there, the fundamentals. I mean, this is a guy that is 7th in xERA, 4th in swinging strike percentage, 4th in K percentage. Everything is there for this guy. This is a guy that has a career 280 ERA, a career FIP under 3, and an xFIP just above 3. Pitchers in the National League East. I mean, to me, this is a guy that's definitely a top 10 starting pitcher, rest of the way, possibly top 5.
Ms. Modica, can I ask you a question? You brought this young man, DeGrom, in here to see us. I have a couple of things I want to talk to you about the young man before I make an investment in him. First and foremost, what's his health situation? He plays for the New York Mets, so I worry about his health situation, number one. And number two, the home runs have gone up this season. He's walking people more. The whip is high. the earned run average is over four. And I don't see the optimism that you see.
Well, I'm going to quell all those things. His BABIP right now is circa 350, which is 50 points above his career level. So that should even out. The home run percent is like 17.5, which is almost 7% higher than his career average. Mm. I think it's more with the command, where he did get his elbow cleaned out. It's not a major thing where we have to worry about, say, a Tommy John. I'm not scared.
Yeah.
I believe in the health. I believe in the talent. I believe this will all play out. You said he has a 4 ERA. The FIP is a point less. The XFIP is one of the best in the game right now. And, swinging strike percentage, everything is there. Strikeout percentage. He is one of the elites in all these categories. That's why I'm buying.
All right.
When you're buying, you're presenting. We are the buyers, of course.
I'm not interested.
So you're already you're out? Are you say I'm out?
I like the argument, but I don't know where I'm at right now on
Mr.
DeGrom.
You still want to hear more questions. All right. For me, Mr. Modica, I appreciate you bringing in the tank. I enjoyed your presentation. I enjoy the fact, bringing up, of course, the swinging strike percentage. The fact that he's up to a career high, 12.3 K per nine. And that's an interesting number to me, because you talked about how the BABIP will go down. The home runs will go down. Why won't the strikeouts go down as well? We're going everything's going back to the career, more toward the mean here. Why shouldn't we expect the strikeouts to also come back toward the mean?
Even if the strikeouts come down a little bit, he has a career strikeout percentage of like 26.5 almost, which is fantastic. So he's missing bats. People are swinging, missing at his pitches. The first pitch strike rate is right there. I don't see what you don't like. This is what you want when you are going to invest in a starting pitcher. These are the attributes you should be looking for.
Very interesting. Well, Mr. Engel, do you have any questions?
No, I think he makes a great argument. In fact, this was one of my Shark Tank guys. It's like, I don't see why you wouldn't buy in on him at all. Just drop out. It's like you said, the guy misses bats. The home run to fly ball rate is not in line with what he usually has. The FIP shows that the ERA is going to go down. So I'm totally in tune with it. I'm actually I think Corey only doesn't want to buy him because he's a Met.
So you were buying.
Yes.
You were in on this product. Corey Parsons.
I'm not buying the product.
Say the words.
I don't buy these broken products from Queens, New York.
So say the words, sir.
Bias.
I'm out. What's the word, Greg?
How can I? You're out too?
No. I was just saying that's what.
How can I convince you? What are you looking for? What have I not swayed you in?
In all honesty, I just need the TV place for it to replace their medical staff, and I feel a little bit more comfortable. Because every pitcher on this team seems to get hurt. Every single one. Over and over and over again. And it scares me, but you know what, Mr. Modica? I'm going to take the ride with you. I'm in. Two out of three, you're in. Nice job, Matt, with your presentation there.
Thank you.
Next up in the Shark Tank, it's the man wearing a crown.
The king.
It's the king. Scott Engel. Good morning, Scott. Good morning, Mr. Engel.
Right. How you doing? Really nice to meet you. Who are you here to represent today?
I'm Scott Engel. I'm representing RotoExperts.com.
RotoExperts.com. Fantastic. Yeah. Exclusive Edge package available right now at RotoExperts.com. I saw that advertisement on the Fantasy Sports Television Network, and I noticed for free radio, you get $5 off. So that's pretty cool.
Mr. King, I don't know why you call yourself a king. This is my first time meeting you.
I don't call myself the king. I was given that name.
You do call yourself the king.
Don't come into this Shark Tank and get fresh. Who are you like to present, please?
Excuse me?
Do not come into the Shark Tank and get fresh. Who would you like to present?
Please.
Please.
I'd like to present you five of these.
You're trying to get a buyer
very
here.
That was very Fred Sanford of me, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. That'd be on your lip. I'm presenting you Nomar Mazara, who's 132.
Oh,
on the ESPN player rater. And I wasn't going to go lazy here on this. Like you said, outside the top 100, Carlos Correa was 101.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and Manny Machado was like 116. But, I want to try to sell something here. Mazara, to me, is somebody I've always talked up. I've talked to people near the Rangers organization, and they say, this guy is a young professional hitter. And a lot of times when a young guy can excel, it's because of the people around him and stuff like that. He's got a great family. He's got a great support group. And he's got a high baseball IQ. And it's led to a quick promotion to the major leagues. We've seen some terrific numbers in the minors, batting averages at and near 300. The strikeout rate is down. The walk rate is up. The guy started slow, and I talk about how baseball is a constant game of adjustments. He started quickly. He went cold. He adjusted back, and this guy's only 23 years old. They watched him on film, and they adjusted to him. He adjusted right back. He's hitting over 444 in the past week. The Rangers have a six-game win streak. That is tied to Nomar Mazara hitting 386 with about six RBIs in that stretch. Now, his BABIP's only 280. That's good. That's going to come up. The fly ball rate is up significantly by about 13%. Striking out less, walking more. Also, the ground ball rate is down. This guy is a young professional hitter.
You know, it's interesting. I want to comment here first, gentlemen. You started your presentation talking about his upbringing and a great surrounding and a family life. But to be honest with you, as a potential buyer, I don't care.
The reason why I said this kind of thing is because a lot of times when young guys don't have the right background around them, and it includes baseball people, they're going to struggle at the major league level really quickly. This is what general managers tell me,
you know,
and I'm imparting to you.
Giving them to you as a potential buyer,
you know,
here.
Not every,
as a shark.
I respect that not always believe this, because a lot of people are just like what they believe, what they see in the numbers. I think intangibles play a part in it, and I think you see it on the field with a young guy like this, only 23 years old, hitting like a veteran.
Again, I'm going to try to give my opinion here as the shark. You talked about how you believe that the BABIP at 280 goes up. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. I know last year was at 299. That's not that big of a difference.
295.
That's not that big of a difference. 295, that's literally just the last 2 years. 299 and 280.
So, I'm talking about the minor leagues, too.
That's not his career BABIP, though.
Mr. King, when the potential, the guy is speaking that's going to buy your product, you should probably...
I appreciate that, Mr. Executive.
The
average for Nomar Mazara, 287, I don't think that climbs all that much. I think the OBP doesn't climb all that much. For me, started out real hot, got into a deep slump, and you're absolutely right, sir. He worked his way out of it. I don't know. I don't know that Nomar Mazara finishes a top 50 player. We saw a strong slump.
I thought
it was
top 100 we were shooting.
No,
you keep cutting. You keep cutting.
We are shooting for a top 50 player. I don't know
he
that.
He can talk for himself. He's an adult.
I don't know that Nomar Mazara does that and finishes a top 50 player.
No, I was selling him as top 100. That's what I thought we were doing.
Well, then you didn't listen to the correct directions. So for those
I'm
reasons,
looking at the rundown.
For those reasons,
top 100.
I'm out.
Okay. I'm selling him as a top 100 player.
Well, you didn't follow the directions. It clearly says in the rundown, ranking the top 100, that will be the top 50 before it's all said and done. So I want to
give my opinion on Mr. Mazara, but we're coming up towards the end of the... We're coming up on a quick lunch break. When we come back from our lunch break, I'll give my opinions on whether I want to buy Mr. Mazara or not. But your attitude with my fellow...
Sharks.
I didn't like that.
Let me ask you a question.
I didn't like your attitude
with
my fellow
Sharks. Is your last name Sussman? Are you his father?
No, I'm not.
All right.
No, I'm...
Okay.
I'm
not your son?
This is an investment firm.
These are adults.
This is an investment firm.
We're an investment firm. You don't come to the Shark Tank.
You come to our tank respectfully. You understand this, Mr. King?
No, I don't get it.
When we come back, Manny Moe and Corey Parson will give their opinions on Nomar Mazara finishing in the top 50, and Corey Parson will present in the Shark Tank. Stick around. More Roto Experts coming up next. Again, we are back inside the Shark Tank, of course.
This guy's playing a damn...
Given that Alex Rodriguez will be a guest shark this season of Shark Tank, we thought it would be fun to bring the Shark Tank back. So far, Manny Modica has gotten a deal with Jacob deGrom inside the top 50, says two out of our three sharks. Corey said no. Scotty just presented Nomar Mazara inside the tank. I have already said I am out. Corey Parson.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Yeah.
This
is unbelievable. I'm out, sir. I'm out.
If I was saying... top 100 instead of top 50, would you be buying?
You know, it doesn't matter at this point.
Just Corey Parson. I need to know for my sales deck.
Corey Parson.
All right, here we go. You presented, Mr. King, you presented Nomar Mazara. You said something interesting, that you said that he was a good young hitter.
Yes.
A good young hitter that has horrible plate discipline. He does not walk. He has a 257 batting average. His OBP is 318. explain to me how this young man is a good hitter, Mr. King, when this plate discipline, I'm not impressed with this at all. Now, you are right. The strikeouts have gone down. He's striking out 18.2% of the time on the 20%. But still, the walks are 7%, 257 average, 318 on base, 436 slugging. Wait, what's good about this? What's good about this,
what
Mr.
Plate,
King?
What plate discipline numbers are you seeing that indicate he doesn't have good plate discipline?
I'm looking at my sales pitch that I have right here, the information that I have on the young man. So I'm asking you, what about Nomar Mazara?
The strikeout rate is below league average. He's a career 295 hitter if you take the minors into account
This is the big show, Mr. King.
I feel like he's only going to improve.
Really?
Yes.
Now, can you run through? I just told you all of these things that stink right now. These things are not. I'm not impressed by the.
I'm not impressed by a
257 batting average. You told me about 290s in the majors. This, you in the tank, brother. This is the big show right now.
I don't think he would have got promoted this early if he wasn't ready to hit well above 257. You're giving me a batting average on May 17th.
Well, you came here and told me how good a hitter he was on May 17th, Mr. King.
I tell you how good a hitter he is going to be.
That's funny. You told. It sounds.
He's got a 295 lifetime average in professional baseball.
Matty Madika and Okoorie clearly still on the fence about this one. Where are you?
Sorry, Matt. Miss Madika.
I'm going to say that I am out, but this is for the reason why. I do believe
Go to the presenting, man.
Top 50 stud in the making. And I think this guy will get there. I am confident in that. My problem is he still needs to solve the left-handed pitching. Until that happens, it's going to kind of keep him out of that realm. But this is somebody that maybe if you come back to me next season, I'm all in.
Would you buy in if he was top 100?
Possibly, yeah. Top 100 I could possibly get on board with. My main concern is that left-handed. I believe the home runs are going to be there. I want to see if he can make that move in the average.
So, Matt Madika is out. Corey Parson, the last shot for me.
I didn't like your attitude, Mr. King.
I don't really care what you like.
Mr. King. Mr. King.
Get out. I don't care.
You got to get out of our tank.
Mr. King, you come
into my tank. I will take my attaché case and walk away.
You come into my tank talking trash to me.
I'll give you five across your lip.
Call security.
What?
I'm out.
Security.
I'm out.
Jeff, leave me alone.
I'm out. Get
leave
security.
Me alone. So three outs. Out of here, Scott Engel has not gotten a deal with Nomar Mazara. Just a minute left in the program. We are going to save the last two presentations, the last two pitches for Shark Tank for tomorrow's episode of the program. So look forward to that around 9:35 Eastern time. We'll go back in the tank.
There he is,
Corey
security.
Parson, and myself.
He's over here, security. It's the guy right here.
Leave me alone.
He's over here, security. Come get him out of here.
Corey, what's up next in the OGs?
Coming up on Old School Fantasy, talk a little fantasy football this morning. The poll we had up there yesterday had a very wild ending to it. Who ended up winning the poll between who would you rather have for 2017, Martavis Bryant, Deshaun Jackson, and Tyreek Hill. So we'll look back and discuss some of those results. Also going to talk some buy low, sell high candidates for the upcoming, for the rest of the Major League Baseball season. And, you know, we're just going to kick it and have a good time. You know what I'm saying?
And there you go. For Matt Modica, Scott Engel, and Corey Parson, my name is Greg Sussman. Back in the tank, back on the Roto Experts tomorrow morning. Have a wonderful Wednesday afternoon, and we'll see you back here tomorrow at 8 a.m. Eastern.
He's here, security. Right over here.
It's right here.
Right over here, security. Come get him out of here.
The guy's shaking.